Welcome to Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson, joined as always by Kent Steinbeck. And we are in Dallas, Texas. Kent, love Dallas, Texas. And we're in Herb's house, which I love even more.
Absolutely.
Great coffee house. And we love to study the Word of God here. And we've got a great devotion prepared for you today. It's in Proverbs 10, verse 11. And the title of this is Power of Words. Power of words. And Kent, the mouth is a powerful force.
Mm-hmm.
Swings both ways, both for good as well as for evil.
Mm-hmm.
And we can use our mouth to build others up, or we can use our mouth to tear them down. And so we see that here. And so let me just read the verse, Kent. It says, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. So he starts off by talking about the positive use of the mouth by the righteous, which is one who has committed their life to God through Jesus Christ, and they have been declared righteous in justification by faith, and they are living now a righteous life that is moving in the right direction and is consistent with their profession of faith in Christ. And so the mouth of the righteous, that speaks to the counsel they give to others, their speech before others, even their teaching to others. It says the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. The word fountain here means a spring, like a wellspring that's just bubbling up from deep beneath the surface of the ground. It's an artesian well almost that's just springing up, bubbling up, and overflowing. And this says that the mouth of the righteous is like a wellspring that pure water is just flowing from their lips, and giving godly counsel, is building people up with their words, is sharing the gospel with other people, is citing scripture for other people. That's what the righteous do. I mean, there's a direct correlation, Kent, between the heart and the mouth. And with the righteous, and what's done in the heart comes out of the mouth. However, with the wicked, this says, there is a disconnect. And what's done in the heart, the wicked try to hide it and conceal it, camouflage their life. And so it says, but the mouth of the wicked. Now, the wicked here, this word wicked literally means one who's found guilty. It's used of a criminal. And the idea of the wicked here is someone who's been tried in the courts of heaven and been found wanting. They've been weighed in the balances, and they're guilty before God, even before the final judgment. They've already been weighed. And so the mouth of the wicked, when they open their mouth, they live in a world of deception. They live in a world of concealing what they really think and what they really feel on the inside. And this is the kind of person who smiles at you but stabs you in the back while they're smiling at you. They're two-faced. Mm. And the Bible in the New Testament calls that a hypocrite,
mm-hmm.
which is someone who puts on a mask and pretends to be someone other than what they really are. So they put on a mask, they go on a stage, they're given a script, they play a role, someone who they really are not. The play is over, they take the mask off, they step off the stage, and they go back to be who they really are. And so they are different people in different settings with different groups, but they are masters at concealing their plans for violence. And so the word conceals here means to hide or to cover up. So it's a covert cover up. And violence here, this word literally means wrongdoing or cruelty. Mm-hmm. And so they never really turn all their cards over. There's never a full disclosure of what their real intent is, and they veil their evil agenda or their selfish agenda so they conceal violence. Where the opposite is true with the righteous. The righteous is very authentic. They're transparent. They speak what is on their heart. People know where they stand. So there's not this inconsistency. So, Kent, we need to talk about this. But this is a powerful proverb.
Yeah, it is. And I think for those of us who are believers, I think it's fair to say that we really want to be a fountain of life.
Yeah.
I mean, why would any of us not want our lives to count?
Yeah.
Can you talk about, if we live a righteous life, more about how our lives will be are fountains of life, and how not only does it impact our lives, our daily lives, but all the others we come in contact with?
Yeah, yeah. Well, to be a fountain of life, that means beneath the surface, there needs to be a reservoir,
okay,
of truth, mm-hmm, and wisdom, which is found in this book. And so we've got to be in the Word being us, so that when we open our mouth, the wisdom of God and the truth of God comes out. So it's not just an automatic thing. We can't have an empty reservoir,
yeah,
beneath the surface. And so when we open our mouth, it's just empty chatter.
Mm-hmm.
No, there needs to be a deep supply of truth that is being built up beneath the surface in our heart and in our mind, so that as we engage people in conversation and as we give counsel to others, we speak the mind of God and the mind of Christ as it's contained in this book.
So we don't always know necessarily what we say or how we say it impacts others. Is that
right? Oh, absolutely. That's true. And we never know. Like, Kent, you're getting ready to go be with a number of people. I mean, you have no idea what people are going to be saying. And so you need to be ready to give an answer,
mm-hmm,
that's shaped by the Word of God as you interface with people. And I have no idea who I'm going to run into today, who I'm going to talk to. And so there's no script. There's no pre-written script that's put in front of me. You're going to be talking to these eight people today, and they're going to ask you this. This is what you're going to say.
Yeah.
No, life is just unfolding spontaneously. And so that's why we have to spend time in the Word and being taught and sitting under expository preaching, so that as we find ourselves in different life situations, we're able to speak into that moment what is true and right and godly. So the fountain of life, there also needs to be a deep reservoir,
yeah,
of life.
Could we tie it to Psalm 1 where the trees
plant, oh, yeah,
and the,
yeah,
water and the fresh water?
That's good, Kent. Yeah, absolutely.
We'll speak to that.
Well, in Psalm 1 is verse 3, but the righteous are like a tree planted by streams of water. And Spurgeon brings out in Treasury of David that that's a beautiful picture of the new birth. That you were in a desert, but you've been transplanted now by streams of water. Someone came along and uprooted you and carried you and planted you in a new environment. And Spurgeon brilliantly says that this is what happens in regeneration. And so now we're plugged in or planted by streams of water, and these roots pull up the water, even in desert conditions, the tree thrives. Other plants are dying, but this tree thrives and bears its fruit in its season. Whatever he does, he prospers, because the truth of the Word of God is flowing into his life, and he meditates on the Word of God.
Yeah. So in closing, can you give us an example, and I know you can, where, you know, you've been in the Word and people have come up to you and said things that had impacted their lives that you weren't even aware of because you were a fountain in their life. God used you in ways you're not even aware of because of just what's coming out of you.
Yeah.
Like flowing. So yeah, I know people talk to you all the time. And you're like, I didn't even know that. Or
yeah,
how did that
happen? Yeah, yeah.
Because you were in this and your fountain.
And the word applies to everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, well, several times in my life, Kent, after I've preached a sermon, I'll be out in the lobby, and I'll be saying hi to people, and there'll be a man will come up to me, and this has happened more than a couple times, and will say, "You've been talking to my wife."
You meant something.
And I'll go, I don't know what you're talking about.
What?
He said, "No, you've been talking to my wife, haven't you?" And I said, "Well, obviously, I know who your wife is. Y'all come to church here, but I haven't spoken to her in months." And he goes, "No, you have been, because there's no way you could know about." And he gives the situation. I said, "I'm just preaching the next verse. You know, I go verse by verse through books in the Bible. This isn't a setup."
Yeah.
And the word of God was just like an arrow shot from heaven that just hit him exactly where he was. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And it will hit somebody else at a different point in their life, mm-hmm, to what they need to hear.
So that means that's exciting for us, for laymen, that if we're in the word, we're going to, the fountain that, mm-hmm, comes out of us is going to impact people's lives in ways we don't even know.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's exciting.
I'll give you one more example. I was preaching through 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, love is kind. And so I was preaching that Sunday on love is kind, and I felt kind of bad in that, I don't know, this almost just sounds like a message without any depth or teeth to it or whatever. I mean, just like go into all the world and smile or something.
Yeah.
So I thought, how is this just really going to work in anyone's life? Well, I closed the sermon. We sang the closing hymn, and I gave the closing benediction, and I was getting ready to walk out the side aisle out into the lobby to greet people. Before I could even get out of the pulpit, a man walks up to me, and he said, "I've got to talk to you."
Hmm.
And I said, "Well, sure." So we sat on the front pew, and he said, "I need to become a Christian."
Wow.
And I thought, what in the world did I say love is kind?
Didn't that something?
And he said, "You'll notice I've come to church by myself today. And my wife won't come to church with me, and my children won't come to church with me." And he said, "The reason is I've been so unkind at home." And he said, "This sermon has so convicted me. And based on what you said from this passage, the only way I can really be kind is to have God in my life and to have Christ in my life."
Great.
And so we just prayed, and he committed his life to Christ. I'll never forget it.
That's great.
I'm almost apologizing for this sermon.
Yeah.
Like it just didn't
happen. But it wasn't going to do anything.
It's just not going to do anything, you know?
Not see any impact.
Yeah. Yeah. And the guy's converted almost before I can get out of the pulpit. Well, however the Lord is at work in your life, just know that your words are powerful. And use them wisely. Thank you for joining us for Steadfast Hope.